In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Has this ever happened to you? You have 2 days' worth of medication left, but your prescription bottle says that you can't get a refill for 3 days. So you call your pharmacy. You get a recorded voice that says, "Thank you for calling the ABC Pharmacy. Your call is very important to us." Now, at that point, I just want to say, if my call is so important to you, why don't you have a real live human being answer the phone? But I'm talking to a machine, so doing that would do no good. Then you hear, "If this is a true medical emergency, hang up and dial 911. If it was a true medical emergency, I would have known to call 911, not the pharmacy. It sounds to me they're just trying to prevent themselves from getting lawsuits. Then the robotic voice says, "Please listen carefully, as our menu options have recently changed." Have you ever called when the menu options have not recently changed? What do? Hire somebody to go around at night and change the menu options just for fun? Next, you get this. If you are a doctor, hospital, or medical provider, please press 1. If you are a patient, please press 2. If we patients are so important to them, how come we're 2 and the doctors and hospitals are 1? But I digress. That just doesn't seem fair. You press 2. Then you get 9 options, and none of those options are, "I've got 2 days of medication left and I can't get a refill for 3. So then you hear, "If you would like to speak to a representative, please press 0. So you press 0. Finally, you are going to talk to a real human being, but no. We are experiencing an unusually high volume of calls. When are they ever not experiencing an unusually high volume of calls? But again, I digress. Please stay on the line for the next available representative. Now, if you are lucky, very, very lucky, after listening to some really bad music for 10 minutes or a half an hour or maybe several hours, you will at last get to speak to a real live human being. Hallelujah! Such are the frustrations of modern life, and things have only gotten worse during the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown. We have been working from home and not in shops or offices with other people. Children can't go to school. They learn or play with friends remotely. Meetings have been by Zoom. Even churches have had to cancel their services or conduct them over the internet. This has led to a lot of anxiety and depression, having been so isolated. Overeating and alcohol consumption have increased. There has been more domestic abuse and more requests for counseling. Things have been tough for us all. If there is any silver lining in the COVID-19 dark cloud, it might be this. When all else has failed us, the government, the medical authorities, the financial institutions, when so much has been stripped from us, our trust in the experts, our economic security, even basic staples like food and tissue paper, we have come to realize what is really important: our friends, our family, and our faith. Maybe now we can see the true difference between our wants and our needs, between what is essential and what is unnecessary. One thing that I've often heard during the shutdown was people's desire to worship together again in their church. Many of you have told me about your hunger for the sacrament. You have genuinely missed seeing one another and longed for that fellowship that we so often took for granted. In the beginning, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." People need people. That's true. Even more, we need the man, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his son. God did not send an app for your iPhone. God didn't give you a number to call to connect you with an automated voice messaging system. Press 1 to make a confession. Press 2 if you need healing. God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, as a real flesh and blood human being to be our savior. Christ came to earth because we are truly important to him. We are first on his list. He's not ever going to change how he relates to us. Jesus meets us at the point of our needs. He doesn't send us off to look somewhere else. And where do we meet Christ? Here, in worship, in word and sacrament. As we heard at the beginning of the gospel reading, Jesus didn't create a software program to continue his ministry and presence in all generations and all over the earth. Christ sent out real live apostles to preach the word and break the bread. You have probably noticed already how important word and sacrament are to me. I have to tell you, I felt like I had been spinning my wheels for several weeks. Now, there was plenty for me to do here as the new pastor of First Trinity, meetings and making telephone calls to introduce myself to people, just a few in-home visits, dropping by on the daycare center, videotaping worship and sermons and things like that. But it just didn't feel right not to be able to lead God's people in worship on Sunday mornings. It was very unsatisfying for me to say to people over the telephone when I introduce myself, "I really look forward to meeting you in person someday. Don't know when that'll be." Or, "We will have worship very soon, but nobody knows when that is either." Now that we can celebrate word and sacrament together, things are as they ought to be. My feelings are not the most important thing in the world, but I am much happier now. And I believe that many of you are much happier too. Now, when we could not worship together, we got creative. We video and audio taped our services and put them on Facebook. We emailed bulletins and sermons to people, and we will continue to post our services on the internet, and we will reach by mail people who cannot come to worship. I also will visit and serve communion to our homebound members. I like to say, when you can't come to church, we will bring the church to you. These are the things that keep our church family worshiping and keep everyone connected to one another. But not everything is good everywhere. While we understand the positive motivation to get innovative with worship during the shutdown, some churches pushed the boundaries and may have taken things too far. Maybe you heard the controversy about pastors claiming to consecrate crackers and grape juice in people's home by sharing the words of institution over the computer or TV. Anything like that, which raises questions about the efficacy of the sacrament, has to be ruled out of bounds, and that was. A lot of people are saying that the pandemic will change things forever. I'm not so sure. I've seen the future, and it looks a lot like the past. Do you think that people are going to keep wearing masks even when the viral threat is over? I don't think so. Do you think the elbow bump is going to replace shaking hands? I don't. Do you think that people are going to stay at home and watch TV services of religious natures rather than actually come to worship? Now, those kind of programs do draw a certain audience, and there certainly is many of them out there. But for those who have been active in the worship life of the church, and those who can actually physically get to church, televised worship will never be an adequate substitute for real live worship. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Let's say you regularly watch a televangelist. Will that person baptize your child or grandchild? Will they perform a wedding for you? When you're sick, will the televangelist visit you in the hospital or bring you Holy Communion in your home? Will he bury a loved one? Can you call that person or someone else who watches the program at 2 a.m. with an emergency? Are you ever going to have a potluck dinner or a barbecue with the other viewers? I sincerely doubt it. One of my family members had a health crisis, and with the very best of intentions, another family member sent some money to a TV ministry along with a prayer request. She proudly told me that people in some big church in some other state were going to be praying for that sick person. Trying to be as gentle as I could, which in retrospect was probably not very, I said that she should have asked for prayer from her church family. That God doesn't hear the prayers from some big gaudy auditorium any more than he hears the prayers from her own little church. And that if she felt inclined to make a special offering, it probably would do more good close to home. A lot of those offerings, the TV ministries, go to pay for the pastor's private jet, and a lot of the prayer requests wind up in the dumpster without ever being read. There is no substitute for real, live human beings whom you know, ministering to you and praying for you and you for them. As the world gets more high-tech, the church has to be more high touch. Christians need to be there for one another. We need to talk face to face. We need to pray side by side. And when it's safe, we can cry on each other's shoulders and give one another big bear hugs. Most of all, we need to eat Christ's body and drink his blood. I thank God that we will have Holy Communion here next Sunday with all of the appropriate precautions, of course. When I was a teenager, there was a Christian song that went, "Love was when God became a man, down where I could see love that reached to me." That man, of course, was Jesus Christ. You and I aren't Christ. We can't die to save the world as he did. But as Luther says, we can be like little Christ to one another. We can pray for one another. We can share a gospel word with one another. We can help and serve one another. In that way, we are part of the incarnation, with Christ living in us and we in him. Lord, let it be. Let us real human beings be like Christ to one another. Amen.